A very good evening and welcome along to The Score here on Highland Radio with myself, Jeremy Doherty, and Mark Gallagher on a day of deep sadness here in Donegal. The death taking place earlier today of Ollie Horgan, the former Finn Harps manager, who was such a popular and respected figure within the game, a household name within the League of Ireland, and a friend to so many here in Donegal, a place he called home since moving from his native Galway back in 1989. He was a teacher at St Eunan's College in Letterkenny, joining the staff when he first came to Donegal. He played his football with Fannage United and managed the club during a successful period before moving on to Harps, where he was manager for 9 seasons, leading the club into the Premier Division and through so many good times and memorable nights at Finn Park. Tonight on The Score, we'll dedicate much of our programme to Ollie, the tributes from clubs, former players, friends and supporters telling their own tale throughout the day. Joining me on the line just now are Declan Boyle and Keith Cowan, two former Harps players who knew Ollie so well. You're both very welcome to tonight's programme, gentlemen. Declan, the tributes throughout the day to Ollie from right around the League of Ireland, will they show just how well he was got within the game?
Absolutely. Listen, a very sad occasion, obviously, and we kind of knew that things weren't good in regards to his health, and I suppose it came as a shock, even though, you know, potentially it was down the line for him. So a big shock to him and to his family. Condolences out to them and extended family and friends. As you mentioned just previously, I think, you know, he's a Galway man, but he's also a Donegal man on top of that as well. And the connections he had, as you said, in finance and unions and college and obviously, yeah, his affiliation around the League of Ireland as well, because he had so many friends and so many of the people loved Ollie. And he was just, without having too much success in regards to trophies, he's probably one of the most popular managers in the league. And, you know, so it's a big, big loss to his family, obviously, and to the community and to the League of Ireland supporters around the country.
And Declan, what made him so popular then? I mean, you and I have worked together on commentary for so many Harps games during Ollie's time, and we watched him work his magic from the sideline. What made him so special?
I think his work ethic. You know, we all know the amount of times he would travel up and down the country just to watch a team or an opposition, or to watch players, or to connect in with players, or try to sign players. His passion for the game, and we all seen that from up above when you could see him getting involved heavily with the fourth official and the referee, and just that whole passion for it and the love for the game as well. And, you know, even when the game was over, it's like, you know, it was done and dusted. It's the friendly nature of him, you know, regardless, he was always in good form. And he just built up a rapport wherever he went. And players, you know, even players, when you're involved in management, players sometimes don't like you because maybe they're not playing, but even the players that maybe weren't playing as often as they would have liked, you know, they all still had a massive affection and connection with Ollie, and that just shows you the respect of the man that he had, you know. So he had a really, really good way with him, and it's just like, you know, something you can't give. You know, he just had that in abundance. And listen, as I said earlier, it's a big, big loss, and you know, sadly, you know, it'd be a big loss to obviously the League of Ireland, and obviously Finn Harps, the connection he had with Finn Harps over those 9 years, and there's plenty of ups and downs, but to keep us in the Premier League when we probably had the smallest budget in the league, it just shows you the work ethic of the man as well. So I mean, it's just a sad loss to the soccer community.
Yeah, well, Keith Cowan played under Ollie. Keith, you got to work with him in training and in the lead up to matches and on so many big match nights. How do you think he rated as a manager?
Ollie's definitely up there. You know, he was, second placed on his work ethic there, which was second to none. I think that's why he gained so much respect amongst, you know, maybe fellow managers and the players that he coached, you know, throughout his career. You know, there was no stone left unturned. He constantly drove the length and breadth of the country, and maybe, you know, even into England and Scotland, and, you know, because there's a lot of times that he turned up the players and we were wondering, where did Ollie pick this man up? So, you know, that was just, you know, down to the man himself. And, you know, as I say, he earned that respect, and, you know, it served him well moving forward, and, you know, getting a job within with his beloved Galway, where he done so well also. But just being involved with Ollie in those big games and those big occasions, you know, it's something that, you know, that I'll cherish. And, you know, he was definitely, I suppose, success is measured differently a lot of times, and, you You know, some of the games that we had, some of the success that we had, it might have been, you know, involved in playoffs, or it might have been, you know, whether it was to go up or to even stay up, and, you know, even latter stages of cup competitions that we were in sometimes. So, yeah, look, it's a very sad day, as Steggy says, and it's, you know, like the even some of the text messages I've been getting myself, you know, because of the affiliation that I have with him and the club. Like, it's he's definitely touched a lot of people, and that's I'm sure over the next few days we'll hear more and more on that side as well.
Yeah, and you know, he prepared teams so well as well, Keith, didn't he? You know, that's probably helped by the fact that he knew the opposition teams, you know, almost in and out.
That's it, and that's where you go back to that kind of, you know, that work ethic, and, you know, you can say with limited resources, you know, at his disposal, when Ollie came in initially, you know, he made us competitive, and that's something, you know, we had good players there, but it was getting us organised and, you know, putting us out on the field to, you know, to, I suppose, over the course of a season, and, you know, he recognised that there was good players there, but just, you know, needed a bit to add that, maybe a bit more experience or a bit more talent in certain areas. And again, you know, that the fact that he knew the players inside out, you know, he was involved with, you know, youth football and, you know, through school and that, and, you know, involved in different international underage setups. So he would have met players there along the way. He would have kept and made good connections. And that was down to his craft as well. You know, he was a shrewd operator, and he knew, you know, to, you know, how to, you know, how to speak to people and how to, you know, make those good relationships and build on those. And, like, there were so many players throughout the years that, like, you know, coming near the end of their careers, like, that he would have made connections with maybe earlier. And he said, yeah, Ollie rang me every year. What about coming up? And eventually he got his man, and they would have come up and maybe spent the last couple of years up here. And, you know, they always had great things to say about him, and, you know, they always loved their time in Balwa Fae, and a lot of that was down to the way he treated them, and suppose the last impression that he left with them.
Yeah, that's nice to hear. Declan, Harps play Treaty United tomorrow night at Finn Park in the League of Ireland First Division. Another big match for Kevin McHugh and Harps. And it promises to be a special night where fans will no doubt, you know, have a chance to pay their own tributes.
Absolutely. Yeah, listen, it's a big night, obviously, for the players. It's going to be an emotional night as well, you know, for supporters and for all the club delegates there as well, because they had that relationship with Ollie, and, you know, so it's going to be a big night, you know, was off and on the pitch. Kevin, obviously, has to probably remain focused in regards to trying to get three big points or close that gap and with 3D and get close to that playoff spot. But, you know, hopefully we'll have Ollie there supporting us, you know, and pushing players on, you know, so from regards to looking down from above, you know, and hopefully they'll need that wee bit of craft and guile that he would probably give them, you know. So was looking for a big performance just to reward, obviously, for all his hard endeavours around Finn Park down through the years, you know. But I think, and just on that, I was lucky enough, but it just tells me my age, that I actually played against him many times when he was roaming up and down the pitch and his left full for Fannett United, and when there was a really good Fannett team. And, you know, he probably coached the way he actually played, because he was really hard working and he got up and down, and he was actually a good player as well on top of that, you know, and people seem to forget that sometimes, you know. So but yeah, listen, it's a big occasion, obviously, tomorrow night, and hopefully we get a fitting performance from the team as well that will do Ollie proud.
Okay, Keith, before we let yourself and Declan go, you obviously work as a secondary school teacher as well, just like Ollie did. I mean, his involvement at schools level in terms of football too was quite incredible. The knowledge that he had of players and the work that he did with so many young players here in Donegal.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and I suppose it's that knowledge that, I know, that's, you know, maybe a relationship he was able to create, and, you know, working with young guys and, you know, coming to that age of sort of, you know, 17, 18, 19, the sort of formative years as players, you know, he would have had that from an education point of view. And, you know, like, you know, Ollie was very good at maybe sort of, he had a great knack of getting the best out of people, you know, whether that may be, you know, it wasn't too often that you would have got maybe a pat on the back from Ollie or many kind words, but, you know, the biggest compliment that Ollie Organ ever could have paid you was put you in his team every week, you know. And obviously that's not going to be the case, as Dickie touched on as well. You know, he had big decisions to make a lot of the time, and, you know, and he was able to make those. You know, and again, sometimes you're not going to please everybody, but that's the nature of the game. And Yeah, I suppose on that point of view, you know, the fact that, you know, he had that experience with young, with the young lads. He was able to bring a few of them through, and you know, that was another great skill that he had, and some that not a lot of managers have. But it's just you know, it's massively disappointing, you know, and it's just something that we're all going to have to come to terms with.
Okay, Declan Boyle and Keith Cowan, thanks for your kind words tonight on Ollie Horgan here on The Score. We're going to go for a quick break. And you're welcome back to The Score on a day of sadness in Donegal, where the football and family have lost one of the good guys, the death taking place earlier today of Ollie Horgan. In a few minutes, we'll speak with Kenny Harkin from our own sports team here at Highland Radio and Eamon McConaghy, friends of Ollie, going back to his days at Fannage United. But I'm joined on the line now by former Coghill Celtic player William O'Connor, the current manager of UCD and a former assistant manager under Ollie at Harps. William, thanks for joining us on the programme, and I'm sure...
...to Anita and Ollie's five children. The country has probably lost a brilliant football man, but they have lost a father and a husband, and our thoughts are first and foremost with them for the day that's in it.
Indeed, well...
Go ahead,
William.
I got to know Ollie probably through schools football. I would have been coaching school teams in Muncrana, and Paddy Carr would have been involved with Ulster schools. Ollie would have been in with Irish schools at that time. So after a few years there and getting to know him, I think I actually asked him any chance of getting a coaching job with Fun Harps. And he took me in fairness. He gave me an opportunity in senior football that I'm still involved in today, and I wouldn't have been involved only for him. So I owe a lot to him.
And during that time then, William, I'm sure you learned so much about the game, but how to deal with players and how to prepare for matches. Ollie was a wealth of knowledge.
He was. Obviously, going from intermediate football to senior football, there's obviously a big gap, but I probably you get your eyes open when you move up. But obviously, with Ollie, the amount of detail that he went into, I would say, is second to nobody in the country. I think obviously the opposition, he'd have a meeting there on a Wednesday evening, and he would put the opposition team up, and very seldom would he be wrong. He would go through every one of them from their height, how quick they were, what foot they were. I think in the whatever 10 years I was working with from the Irish schools and with Fun Harps, I think there was one player he didn't know, and it was a player that came from France and signed for Cove that week, and he knew everything about every player, and that's probably with his involvement through the school in St Eunan's. But I think every player in the country, he would have known from the interprovincials and the Irish schools, he would have the best players in the country at 18 years of age every year, and one thing about him, he never ever forgot one of them, and would have known them, and obviously would have taken a good few with him to Fun Harps as well. Incredible detail, obviously about the players, about the opposition, how you go about stopping that position. He put in serious information and work ethic, but he was a highly intelligent man behind it all. He knew what he was doing and was a really, really top manager.
I remember one season, William, he was looking for a central midfielder. He was looking for a ball player, let's put it that way, and the name of a player from UCD came up, and I suggested him. And Ollie started to chuckle, and he said, that boy's on his way to Dundalk, he said, and he told me that he had just done his Leaving Cert, and Ollie even knew the grades that he had gotten as Leaving Cert. Incredible knowledge. He was right. He did go to Dundalk and went on to enjoy a fantastic career.
Yeah, that's it. That's him. Like he knew everything about every one of the players. And go to all extent to find out any information. There was no stone left unturned from his point of view in terms of preparation. He wouldn't have went into that game on Friday unless he had every detail covered. And that's where he was a really, really top manager. They have Fun Harps in the top tier, six out of the nine seasons he was there. That's some achievement, and I don't know how many other managers would have managed that.
Well, William, finally, you're based in Dublin these days, and tributes have been coming in from, you know, from a host of Dublin clubs, including Bowes, who penned some lovely words of tribute earlier on today. It's up on social media. He was so well got right around the League of Ireland.
Yeah, he was. I think every club has it up, and I think even the president has a statement out there today which shows you the how highly he was thought of. But again, yeah, he was a brilliant football man, but I think he was like a people's person. I think there were people text me today that talking about how different interactions they would have from them, and they mightn't have been top-tier football people. They were just every person involved in football, from groundsmen, the supporters, all over Donegal, all over the country. They all have their own wee memory of him, because he gave that much time to the people. Anybody spoke to him, he would have known them. He would stop and talk to them, and they all kind of had a real fondness towards him. But that's the type of person he was, like a really good character, but a good caring person that would do anything for anybody, and go to any length for it. I think even the players, he wasn't a player for he wasn't a manager for maybe giving you a hug or an arm around the shoulder, but my God, any player that played for him would go through a wall for him, and you would see from the amount that would have inquired about him over the last few weeks and that would have gone in contact and went to visit him, they all had a real liking towards him, and again that kind of would sum up how highly he's thought of.
Lovely words. William O'Connor, thanks for joining us on tonight's programme.
Thanks, Jeremy.
William O'Connor there. Well, Eamon McConaghy and Kenny Harkin are with me here in studio. Two close links to Ollie's time at Fannett. Eamon, both yourself and Kenny were former teammates going back over 35 years ago now, but perhaps more importantly, you guys, you remain close friends ever since.
Yeah, well, first of all, I wish to send my sincere condolences to Anita, his wife, and their family, and indeed all the people at St. Eunan's College, and especially the footballing world, because he gives so much to the footballing world. And I suppose it was 1989, I got a phone call from a friend of mine in Galway saying that there was a player going up to teach in St. Eunan's and that I should have a look at him. And the story went that I rang, and no such thing as mobile phones then, I rang St. Eunan's, and I asked to speak to Ollie Horgan, and I told him that we were going down to play in a cup final, and Pat Doohan cup final in Gidore, and would he come down and play? And he hesitated for a while, but he said he would. But anyways, I said that time the big meeting place was down at the cafe, at Boyce's Cafe at the bottom of the town. So I arrived down about 5:30 and I looked around and I saw this fellow with long hair and jumper and the thumbs through it, and I thought to myself, well, he's not a teacher anyway. And next I waited for about 5 minutes, and then I noticed the football boots in this bag, plastic bag. So I screwed down the wand and I says, "Are you Ollie Horgan?" He says he was, and that was it. That was the beginning of it. We went out together. He played so well, and all the boys took to him right away, and he liked the fan had set up too, so we had no problem signing him. But he played 4 years roughly for Fannett, and would have played a lot longer, only for, I think, he'd done his cruciate and he did it a second time, so he wasn't able to play any football, which was a big blow. So it's we're all learning today of his death, and it's very, very sad. And the only thing I can say is anybody that knew Ollie will have very, very fond memories of him, because what you see is what you got. And, you either take it or leave it. And that's the kind of character he was, but a tremendous character.
Yeah, and that was a good Fannett team back then, Eamon, as well. You had been more than half decent to play for Fannett United. What kind of player was Ollie?
Ollie was a very good player. Ollie played at left back, and I don't think anyone on the opposition wanted to come near him, because he would be known to hit you an odd kick or whatever. But he was very good in the tackle, very strong defender, wholehearted, and was always going to be there, was always going to be training, wanted to be there and wanted to play. And, you could see that in him all the way through, even to up to his death, that, he gave everything. If he was going to do something, well, he was going to give it his 100%. And no matter what way it went, he would accept that, but he would be given his 100%. And he did that on the field. And he was a good player, very, very good player. And it was sad at the time to see him that he was unable to play. And it was a big blow to him. And I can see why, he wanted to go into management and be involved in football, because he really loved it. And end up, he just wasn't able to play himself because of injury.
Yeah, well, Kenny, you will remember him from his time in his early days as a teacher at St Union's College as well. Very quickly, he got himself involved in the sports teams at St Union's College. I was fortunate enough to play on one of his first teams. You know, he actually really showed his worth as a manager back then, even though he was still only a young man.
Dermot, same as Eamon and everybody else, I'd just like to pass on my condolences to Anita and the whole family. It's very, very sad news because we've all kept in touch with Ollie, and he just, at the moment's notice, if you text him, he's texting you back within 10 minutes. But as you say, he was such a competitive person as well. I remember him playing mostly because when we played down in Fannett, he would have played a lot longer, but some of the challenges he had done, he must have affected his knees and everything else. But he was a tough, tough man, no compromises, and it was the same in his management as anybody that watched him could see, both at the college and when he went on to Fannett and senior football. There was no messing with Ollie, and as a lot of the Fannett players would have known from time to time, there had been an odd, dodgy challenge. So a lot of times boys had to practice playing left back because an odd time they got playing left back when Ollie got a red card here and there. So he was a tough, uncompromising player, but what a class man. He was a pure gentleman to the end.
Yeah, and that very fact, Kenny, perhaps suggests why, you know, Harps, when Ollie was manager during the good times and even during the times when it was tough going, the people would go over and watch Harps. They were going over there as much for Ollie as much as the team itself.
Well, it says a lot about a man when people, you don't have to say Ollie Horgan. If you look at the football world, if you say Ollie, everybody knows who it is. And as you say, crowds went because Ollie was managing. And even we were lucky enough during COVID that we got up to see games at Fun Park when the place was empty. So the shouting and roaring Dolly was doing wasn't put on for the crowd. That was his enthusiasm. He was like that when the stadium was empty. He was just so competitive, and he wanted everything done the right way. But the minute the game was over, no better man to go over and shake your hand if you were in opposition. And it didn't matter what you done on the match, Ollie would have time for you after the game.
Yeah. Eamon, he certainly made his mark at League of Ireland level.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, you could see that Ollie, when he took the job, at Fannett, and you could see the improvement that it was down there. And then he went on to manage Finn Harps, and he knew exactly what he was getting into. He could see it the minute he went in there that he had certain things to do, and he had the enthusiasm to do them. And he knew a team was needed. He knew all the people around him, that he needed the proper people around him. And he was very knowledgeable. Ollie was a very, very clever fella. And, it didn't surprise me that he became a very, very good manager, because his own personality and everything else, if he was going to do something, he would do it. And that's what he'd expect of everybody else. And that's the way his players looked at him then, that he was a man prepared to put it in. So we've got to do the same. So we led by example.
And what I always admired as well, Eamon, was the fact that Ollie wasn't afraid to make the big decisions. There are plenty of players out there probably, would have maybe had different opinions of Ollie in terms of football, because maybe things didn't work out for them under him when he was a manager. But he wasn't afraid to let players go, bring other players in, because he wanted the right players around him.
Yeah, that's correct. Ollie knew exactly what was needed. He knew exactly what was needed at Finn Park to be able to compete in the Premiership of the League of Ireland. And to be fair to him, he brought some very, very good players down there, and they made it into the Premiership. And, I suppose in any other location other than Donegal, as a manager, he would have probably been up there. And people used to ask me, about Ollie, and I would be telling them, there's one place Ollie's going to end up, and I said it's going to be Galway United. And unfortunately, he didn't get the time there. But I do believe if he had to get the time down there, that he would have taken Galway to higher places in the League of Ireland and maybe into Europe. And because of his enthusiasm, his knowledge of players and his work rate and his work ethic, he would definitely have done that.
Well, Kenny, not alone did you play with Ollie down at Fannett, but you got to work with him closely then as part of the sports team here at Highland Radio. And like myself, I'm sure many's an interview was preceded by an off-the-record conversation that could last for ages, when he's just shooting the breeze, chatting about football, chatting about family life. He was one of those people that wanted to know as much about you as what you wanted to know about his team.
Well, the thing about him, Dermot, he knew everything about everybody, and For example, like my son played up there for 9 years, I think it was, under Ollie, and my father is coming 89 shortly, but Ollie never stopped keeping in touch with him. You know, he was a great person for family life outside of football and kept in touch with everybody. He was fantastic, but as Eamon said, as well as that, the knowledge of football that he had, he was turned up everywhere. Letterkenny Rovers were in the Intermediate Cup final up in the Viva, and we went up to the game, and we were going into the stadium and everybody was dressed up. Ollie came along with a blue and one blue sock, one yellow sock, pair of different runners, and as everybody knew, he never was managed to dress, and he had the phone stuck down one sock and the car keys hanging out of the other sock, and it was just, he was there to watch the match with his notepad, and he wasn't there to mix with people, but outside of that, he kept in touch with everybody, and he was a fantastic person at keeping in touch with all the families of the players that he was involved with.
Well, Eamon and Kenny will stay with me here in studio, because I'm going to go back to the lines, and we're joined by John Campbell. John was on the Finn Harps board that appointed Ollie Horgan back in 2013. John, great to have you on the programme. Your memories of that time then, looking back, it probably turned out to be a very good appointment, but what convinced you guys that Ollie was the man?
Well, it was a very interesting time. First of all, I want to say it's a very sad night, and my deepest sympathies go with Ollie's family, who obviously you get to know over the years as well when you're working close with Ollie. No, it was an interesting time. It was a time when the club was in a lot of trouble, and there was a subcommittee set up to interview potential managers. There was 12 people, so we decided to break it down into 4 or 5 people then. So Ollie was one of the people asked back the second time, and I always still recall that interview. It was a lot more detailed and sort of, well, what exactly would you do or what's needed, you know? And the detail that Ollie went into, it was incredible. There was one clear candidate after that was over, because then, as was said several times this evening, the knowledge that the man had of football, the knowledge he had about players, was unreal, and he had a very, very clear plan from the interview stage what he needed in and what he needed, as somebody said there, to get rid of as well, that there were certain standards that you needed to hit if there was to be any possibility of Finn Harps, of a future for Finn Harps. And the other thing as well, that it was a very, very rough time around there for Finn Harps. There wasn't a lot of anything to work with, and there was certainly wasn't a lot of money. But that was something that never fazed Ollie. And, you know, we became very good friends from the start, and it was a pleasure to work with Ollie because you could get a phone call from anywhere at 12 o'clock at night. And, you know, I always remember one little story that sort of emphasized what Ollie's commitment was. He rang me one day and said, do you know if it would be possible to get to meet the manager of this particular team in the English Championship? And I said, I don't know, Ollie, but I'll contact the club and go through the process. So I did, then I rang him back the following day at 4 o'clock, and I couldn't get him. 5 o'clock, couldn't get him. So I rang the club in England to say, where Ollie, look, our manager is in the process of making contact with you. And the manager in question went to laugh, and he said, no, he said, he's sitting in front of me.
My God. Well, that's just Ollie. And do you know this, John?
That was Ollie.
That was Ollie. He would go on to manage Harps then for, what was it, over 350 games. And I'm sure over that time and over those seasons, the relationship between a manager and his board, well, it's never really supposed to be smooth, is it? But I'm sure there were some difficult times as well, difficult conversations. But overall, the good times far outweighed the bad?
The good times far outweighed the bad. The great thing about working with Ollie was he was a person that what you seen is what you got. If Ollie had an issue, he didn't let it, like some people, fester. He came and said, you know, there's someone here that's not really right, or whatever the case was. And you could get on, and the board, in fairness, that time that were there, got on great with Ollie because they respected him. He had done so much for the club with absolutely nothing, and then at times the smallest budget in the league. So they totally respected the man. And if the man came in and said, I have a problem with X, Y, or Z, then it was taken on board. And everybody on the board at those stages were very, very friendly with Ollie. As friendly as the board of a club can be, probably, with the manager. But you've got to remember, Ollie was somebody of the highest, highest integrity. And as I got to know the man more and more over the years, there was what you seen with Ollie is what you got. There was no hidden Ollie Horgan. He didn't, like a lot of people in football, speak out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. Ollie Horgan was the best tribute I can play to him, was a man of substance. And that was something that when he went to try and source players, and he sourced them all over the place, it stood for him, the fact that he had a record of doing whatever he said he did. There was no false promises to players. It was, if you're coming to Finn Harps, you're coming, and this is the deal, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a house, place to stay, and you're going to get X, Y, or Z in wages. And his word was meant everything. And I think if we look today, you know, thinking back, you see Shamrock Rovers' mission statements there, Bowes. He was so well liked and held in such high esteem. It was unreal. And I suppose from the committee, I talked to one or two in the day there, it was something we look back on now with pride, that little subcommittee of 3-4, to say, well, we were the people that took Ollie Horgan into the League of Ireland, because it was a privilege and an honour to know the man and work with the man.
John Campbell, thank you so much, John, for joining us on tonight's programme. Eamon McConaghy, John mentions there the tributes coming in from other League of Ireland clubs, Derry City among those as well, to pay tribute, which I thought was so nice. They talked about, you know, the battles that Derry City and Harps have had over the years, and the fact that Ollie led Harps to some memorable victories over Derry City during his time as manager. They were wins that that Ollie took great pride in.
Yeah, that's right. Ollie, he knew what was needed, and he went out there and got it. And you know, he knew what it would take to put it up to the bigger teams, and he knew the type of player he wanted. He was very, very knowledgeable that way, and you know, he had some great matches and some great results against all clubs in the League of Ireland. And as I said, you know, had Finn Harps, and it's not Finn Harps' fault, you know, had they been in a different area or closer to a bigger city or something like that there, Ollie would have really made something out of them. But as it was said before, the budget there was so small that he only could take in so much. But he knew what he could do, and, you know, and what he was capable of. And, you know, people talk about Ollie, but I always find, you know, someone made the remark there, what you saw is what you got, and that's exactly the way Ollie was. You were never afraid of him, you know, doing anything behind your back or telling lies on you or anything else. He was really, really an honest character, and an honest person who loved football and loved to be honest in it. And that's why I would say he was so popular with players and everything else. He wasn't going to tell them something today and then renege on it tomorrow, whatever they got from him. And they respected that, and that's the way they would react with him then.
And Kenny, you could ring him, Ollie, at any time. He could be anywhere. He would have travelled over to England to watch players, to watch games. Even when players from Harps moved across the water to other clubs, Ollie would often go over, pay them a visit, see how they were getting on.
He was unbelievable, because I was even talking to somebody, and I think Keith probably would have known the story better, but somebody had been away on holidays or something, and the flight was delayed, and Ollie landed at the airport in Dublin for them and drove them back to Donegal to get them back in time for the game. And as you say, he could jump on a boat over to Scotland or on a plane over to Luton or somewhere. You know, he could have got him anywhere. He's just one of those guys that he knew everything that there was to know about every player, and how he kept all that knowledge, nobody knows. But he was fantastic for the game. He The half the enjoyment the crowd got was watching him as well as watching his team. But he was just unbelievable, and it's such a sad day for everybody involved.
And sad day for your dad as well, Kenny, because they had a special relationship.
Yeah, he's heartbroken. I was speaking to him earlier, and it's very tough on him because Ollie kept in touch a lot with him, and even when he was sick times there, Ollie had been one of the first people on. So
yeah,
and Eamon, that's so sad.
Eamon, you went up to see Ollie over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I was up seeing Ollie. When I went to see him, he really possibly had a 20% chance. And at the end of the day, he was just in the bed fighting exactly the same way as he would do on the sidelines and his football and everything else. And it was very, very tough to watch. But there was always hope there up until the very end. And unfortunately, this is one game he just didn't win.
Okay, well, Kenny Harkin and Eamon McConaghy, thanks for coming into studio and joining us on the programme tonight. We've all got so many happy memories of Ollie Horgan. The funeral arrangements for Ollie have been released. They're on rip.ie. He will be reposing at the family home in Corandullagh in Galway on Saturday. And he'll be reposing at the O'Flaherty Funeral Parlour on Munster Avenue in Galway. That's between the hours of 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And his Requiem Mass will be celebrated at the Church of Christ the King, Salthill, on arrival at 12 noon on Monday. And he'll be laid to rest in Rahoon Cemetery. On our sympathy, go to Ollie's wife Anita, his children Emma, Anthony, Brendan, Connor and David, and to all the family members, relatives and his many friends. May Ollie Horgan rest in peace.